This is the M Zone.
And welcome back to the M Zone. Jamie Morris, Matt the Hitman Misler, Boom Boom Matty Leach, and hey, Nick Baumgartner from The Athletic is here today. Nick, you don't have a whole lot to think about or talk about. I know you've got that. You covered the other team from last week's game, and you know, Indiana almost a slip up, but they held their. Yeah. They helped their side of the coin. But that being said, now you got to worry about a Michigan game. It's a trophy game, and it's about damn time. Man. As I keep telling everyone, it's in honor of an African American. It's a very cool trophy, an opportunity to really. I guess I'm going to steal this one from Matt Leach. He kept asking people the beginning of the week. Does Michigan have to go out and blow this team out to maintain their and I'm going to say maintain their ranking over Michigan State? Because Michigan State, on their serve, they struggled with Indiana. Mm-hmm. So does Michigan, if Michigan struggles against a Northwestern, who is not perceived to be a very good team, but people don't know this Northwestern team. They always get better during the season.
That's true,
But if they don't perform well, could it flip-flop for next week's game?
It could. You know, I mean, I think that what you're looking for there more than anything, and not necessarily about where you are in relation to Michigan State or whatever in terms of, like, who's going to be favored or whatever, but really what you're looking for is you don't want to take any, like, steps backward in some of the areas that are super important for growth right now. Like, Cade McNamara can't look bad. Right. Like, he looked better. He's gotten better in all the things, little things like we've talked about all year. Like, those things can't go backward. The defense has gotten better up the middle. I think the defensive line has been much better in terms of, you know, gap assignments. I think the linebackers have been better with their fills. Don't want to see that go in the other direction. And I think, like, some of those things that were really critical when the season started, you want to see. And Michigan State's been in the exact same. It's been so fascinating. Both these teams are like the exact same situation. They're both. Every week, like, the final picture doesn't necessarily paint whether or not this was good or bad, you know, a good or a productive or whatever week. You had to get better in the areas that we all talk about every single week. I think Michigan State's done that every game this year, even if the picture hasn't looked the way you want it to. I think Michigan has done that every game this year in some area on their football team. And if you continue to do those things, I think you're exactly where you want to be. That's what you want to avoid, is like, regression in areas that have to go forward. And I think that we all kind of know, having watched this team, what those areas are.
Well, J-Mo's stealing a little bit of my thunder with some of my expectations. Or so I want to, I guess I'll ask you, Nick. I think you're right where we're looking for this team to continue taking steps forward.
Yeah.
Besides the passing game, which is the one that I think every Michigan fan would like to see. If we see an explosion for 250, 300 yards passing, no matter which quarterback's doing it, we'll be feeling pretty good. What other areas are you looking for Michigan to take another step forward so we can prove that we can play with not only Michigan State the following week, but the other big games that we have on our schedule?
Yeah, really, I think it's corner and that defensive line in the front, you know, the inside of the front. And I would say I'll start with corner. And those guys have been better this year. You know, Jemmin Green and Vincent Gray, I think, have been better, you know, both in man and in zone. I think it's important to note that both of them look more comfortable when they're in zone situations. Both of them, not all the way what you'd want in terms of confidence and man coverage, but they're better. I think that needs to keep going in the right direction. I think this is a big, you know, that Michigan State game will be a big test in that front, because they're going to get tested. They're going to get shots thrown on them. How you respond in those, you know, really tense moments, we're still sort of waiting to see at that one. And then the front. And this is one that, you know, they've been better than I thought they would be this year, I think. And I think it's probably time to start crediting them for that, but also Mike McDonald and Sean Nua. And, you know, I think if you've listened to a couple, McDonald's talked, you know, he was on the radio show, Harbaugh show, a couple weeks ago with Jansen. And they were talking about gap and half and some of the things they've done to give the guys help up front. Defensive tackles help and linebackers help. And it's just a lot of things that they've done that are really smart to sort of scheme around. If a guy's not great at this, maybe we can do this and it'll make him that much better. If you can keep doing that and keep getting more production from guys like Jenkins and Mike Morris, Guys are coming off the bench and pitching in. Like, yeah, like that's the stuff you're looking for. And I think that's been really good to see. And as long as that kind of continues, you're sort of where you want to be, I think.
Again, you're listening to Nick Baumgartner from The Athletic. Nick, this team said it went and self-evaluated itself from an offensive standpoint. I'm thinking that they went more to the passing game. They want to complete some passes. Have completion rate go up, I think. Yeah. I think they want to complete some passes. I think that on the long ball attempt, they want to make sure they connect more often than not. From a defensive standpoint, they just want to shore up their passing defense as well in the secondary, and probably work on – I mean, they have some young linebackers that they're finding out. Josh Ross getting hurt, it's more of a, you know, a happening, but it happened. You found out you had some those younger linebackers that were sitting in the wing for their opportunity. When they got their opportunity, they actually delivered. So you can rotate your linebackers now. Yeah. You rotate that defensive line, so your front seven becomes a front 14, really, because you got so many players that you can rotate in and out.
Yeah, and I think that's important for the front, obviously, because you never know with health and everything else how those guys roll over. But, you know, matchups and things I think are important too. But I just think it keeps everybody engaged, especially defensively. Like, you can do that on defense way more, I think, than you can on offense and not disrupt your flow. And they've done a really good job of that, I think, the staff. They play so many guys every week. And, you know, not only does it help you, like, I think it helps every guy grow that way, and it's also the best way to do it if you have a defense that's not, like, overloaded with superstar. Like, they have Aiden as a superstar. Daxton Hill has got superstar traits. You know, I don't know if they have anybody else like that yet right now, right? Like, they've got some guys that maybe are – that could be that, but they're not there yet. Mm-hmm. So I think that you can get around all that by involving way more – you know, a lot more guys, and they've been able to do that. They've found roles for people. Which has been good. And I think if you can sort of continue to sort of do that as you go forward, you know, that's the identity of this defense. And I think that's what they'll probably try to lean on.
Yep. Something that has really worked out well for them this year that we were expecting, or I think worked out better than we were expecting. We knew that we would have some changes on the defensive side. And we were hoping that new scheme could, you know, give teams fits just in itself, not being so predictable, kind of like we were with Dr. Blitz. But I want to ask you, like, with Northwestern, they certainly look slow early, picking up some momentum. Helinski, I think he threw the ball, you know, 30 times last week, you know, close to 253, you know, he threw the ball a lot. Northwestern, do they scare you at all? Do you think that they can come into Ann Arbor and give the Wolverines a close game?
Well, I think that, like Jamie said, they're a team right now that always gets better. Fitzgerald's teams always get better as year goes on anyway, but they're also a team that lost everything when the year started, like last year. Everybody graduated, they reloaded. They were the youngest, I think, team in terms of experience in the country when the year started, or at least in the Big Ten they were, or toward the bottom anyway. So when the year started, where they were and where they are now are completely different situations. But what I would say, though, is, like, I think they're better than they were, but, you know, this is still a team that Michigan – has a talent advantage over, a team that I think it has a discipline advantage over, an experience advantage over, a team that you are better than, and one that, you know, one that the really good teams that we've remembered here in years past, sometimes you struggle with a team like this, but most of the time when the game ends, you put a team like this exactly where they should be. And that's, I think, what you're looking for in a game like this. I don't think it has to be like 60 to nothing or something like that, but You want to be able to go and put a team like this to bed and break its will in the amount of time it should take you to break a team's will like this, because I think that's how we would look at it, right? I think Michigan's offensive line is good enough to take this game over immediately and leave no doubt. So go do it, right? And I think that that's sort of what you're looking at in a game like this. Don't be sleepy. Don't sort of sleepwalk through it. Let your best units carry the day and make this easier than it needs, you know, as easy as it needs to be, I should say.
So, Nick, again, you're listening to Nick Baumgartner from The Athletic. Nick, when you think about this team and how Jim Harbaugh and Josh Gattis like to come out, I mean, if they have the opportunity to run, and they get an opportunity and they think that they're running this ball, do you think they're just going to run it down Northwestern's throat until they stop it? Let's just say
in this game, yes, because you know who's coming next, right?
Right.
If it were a different game, right? If Michigan State wasn't next, maybe not. In this one, if it starts out in the first quarter and you've got the first drive is, you know, hey, six power, you know, you run three power, three counter, and they go right on the field and score, and the second one's the same way, they're not doing anything the rest of the game. You know, Harbaugh, they're not going to show anything the rest of the game. It'll be, if you can't stop our best two or three runs, we're just going to do that all day until we get out of here, and then let Michigan State figure out, you know, you don't want to go, and they're not going to want to do that, obviously. I think that this is one where, if you're Michigan, you should be confident enough at this point in your run game, at this point in the year, to where an opponent like this, you should be able to put it on their shoulders, the offensive line, when you go into it. And you know, you talk to the starters, and they'll tell you they'd want it. So put it on their shoulders, tell them to go take the game early. And I think that's probably Jim's game plan here. You know, having seen him coach in one like this many times before, it's go take their soul in the first 15 minutes and see if they want to fight. If not, like, put it to bed early and get out of here. Like, I would assume that's what they'll want to do. If you get into a fight later, you know, that's a different conversation.
So if things start going that way, and I agree with you, if that's the case, I think that's what Coach Harbaugh, I think that's what the Wolverines will do. Is that the smart thing for them to do? Because we've heard, obviously, whether it was the Washington game or other games where they've been running impressively, that's when you should be practicing some of those things in the passing game, trying to get it down so you can translate it into some of those big games. Because some people have said that they don't think that there's all of a sudden going to be a, you know, you get into a game in East Lansing, you get into a game in Happy Valley, and Michigan is going to bust out this offense or this elaborate offense that we haven't seen. So do you think that they need to work on those things in these games that when they have the opportunity?
Yeah, I think you want to take your opportunities for sure. And you don't want to, you know, just be, we're going to run the ball 75 times, only throw it five. I don't think I would necessarily want to do that. I wouldn't burn anything that I didn't want to burn, you know, just for the sake of doing it. I wouldn't have a call in there that I don't want to put on film just for the sake of doing it. But like, yeah, I mean, I would probably still lean conservative in this game because I think that's how Michigan plays it. But I think that you're still going to want McNamara in every game you play to make a number of throws that keep a defense honest. You know, making sure that if you're finding space in zones that you're making them pay for it. You know, like if they're not covering certain spaces and they're loading up against the run, make them pay for it. We've seen them do that a couple times this year. Sometimes it's exactly enough. Sometimes it's not quite enough. And I think that as long as you're finding that balance where you're doing just enough to keep them off guard to where you can really punish them with your run game, then that's what you kind of want to do anyway. And to your point, man, I mean, yeah, no, they're not going to show up in a Michigan State game and just have a different, you know, like they could come into a game and have a different look here or a different call there or different package here or whatever, but it's not going to be a different offense. This is what they are. And I think it's enough to get them through just about everything in this league, except for the biggest boss at the end. We'll see.
Yep.
But if that's what it is, then I think that's what you lean into. You lean into your best stuff and that's who they are. So that's what I would do.
You know, Nick, we talked about expectations and how expectations have risen over time now. At the beginning of the season in August, you know me, I said I ended up on 9-3. I'm like, we can go 9-3. I said this team can be a 9-3 team. But my expectations have gone up, Nick.
Yeah.
I mean, I've jumped and I'm crazy. You call me crazy, but I said 11-1 now. I would be extremely disappointed if we don't win these next couple of games. I mean, I gave us room, but look, I don't look. The only one that I got, I'm even keeled, I'm 50-50, is that in one on the game. But everybody I've seen play that I've watched television, and I don't have the coach's cut. I have just what I have on TV. But everybody I've seen, we can beat this team. We can beat those teams. But we just got to be in the right framework when we play against them each and every week. It's one game at a time. So with that being said, my expectation has risen two games.
Yeah, and I think that that's fair because I think, Jamie, that you know something that a lot of people don't, and you know the guys on the team. Like, you know the staffers and you know the kids and you know how they're feeling. I mean, they're together. They're it's different. It's different than it was a year ago. And I would venture a guess when you said 9-3 yourself in the offseason, that's why you did, because you felt a difference with the way that the kids and the coaches were together. And I think that they have enough in their like togetherness as a unit. They have enough in their unit to make up for the areas that they're weak in or the areas that they're under whatever in, which is why this Michigan-Michigan State game is so fascinating, because I think Michigan State's in a very similar situation. Not a perfect team. They have flaws. And like Michigan, not a perfect team. They have flaws, and they wouldn't tell you otherwise. They would tell you, yes, we do have flaws. We're working on them every day. We're together. And, you know, that can get you through so much in college football. So, Jamie, I wouldn't disagree with you. I do think they have enough to get through everybody left. I don't know about Ohio State, but if they play with this, with the type of mental toughness that they've shown in some of these road games the rest of the way and play disciplined football, absolutely they have enough to be 11 or whatever in one. I mean, I wouldn't put that past them either, because look at the Big Ten. Look what we've seen. And we've seen it every year the last couple of years. The teams that are together in November are the ones that pull it out if you have enough talent. Michigan has enough talent. They're together. You know, a lot of it ends up being injury luck and everything else. But you know, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, like you said, it's that injury, those injuries that can come up and bite you. We haven't, and I'm not going to wood, we haven't had too many to deal with since obviously the big one there. But you mentioned the players showing the mental toughness, that you believe that they have enough talent to get through every team except for maybe that one at the end, which I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
But that coaching staff that has been coming together this year, it's none of them have been on the staff when we've had some of those tough losses in the rival games or in the big games on the road. With what they've shown you so far this year, do you have confidence in them that they can get it done again in those tough road environments and then at least give us a chance in that big one here at the end?
I think give them a chance. And I think that that's what I would say I have confidence in for the most part, because when we, again, it's because of who they hired. I mean, Mike Hart and Ron Bellamy are, they don't need to know. They know, like, I mean, it's not hard, right? Clint Scales been around here a long time too. These guys don't have to be told. And I think that some of the younger guys, you know, kind of just get it too. It's just one of those things that you shouldn't really have to be told how this all goes. And I think it sort of works in your benefit too, that you have guys that didn't go through all of that here. So you don't have that necessarily the here we go again thing if you're looking up in the top of your room and it's somebody different talking to you, because he's like, I wasn't here when you guys got 62 hung on you, because I don't want to hear about it, because I wasn't here. And as far as I'm concerned, it didn't happen, right? Like, that's a perspective that you can kind of grow with. So I think they have enough to give them a chance. Yeah. I mean, I think they'll be in the right place mentally. I would be surprised if they weren't, with all the guys in the room, you know, that have been through it before here. So that's half the battle. That's more than half the battle at this point. And, you know, you stay healthy, you got them playing together. And I think that that's a good recipe. That's what you want. And that's what they were hoping for when the year started. They're halfway there. And, you know, I suppose we'll see how they finish.
Again, we have Nick Baumgartner from The Athletic. Nick, I have to do it because, you know what? Matthew Stafford did play for this team for 12 years.
Did.
And he's playing against this team now for the first time. You got Dan Campbell saying, calling out his quarterback that he got from the Rams. I don't know what that's all about, but I mean, I look, everything I've seen in golf, it seems like he's not the main problem. I mean, he's out there throwing balls. He's taking the hits. He's showing that he cares about this team. But I guess if you're gonna talk about one of the players or two of the players, you might as well call out your quarterback, the most visible player on the team, right? And
I
guess that's what he's doing.
Yeah, because he is a part of the problem. And I think he's large. He's not all of it, like you said, Jamie, but I think he's a pretty sizable part of it, in that the situational failures that he keeps having are unacceptable at that level. I mean, his numbers at the end of these games sometimes aren't as, you know, put together a garbage drive here at the end or garbage time, whatever, and the numbers end up being the numbers. And people get fixated on that. But when you go back and you look at all these games and situations, they're turning the ball over in the red zone. He's taking sacks and throwing the ball out of bounds on fourth down. Like, he's failing them in all of these critical have-to-have-it spots where – and he's failing them not necessarily because somebody else is screwing up, but because he's just not making right decisions or not prepared or just not being good enough in those spots. And I think that was fair of Campbell, and I think it was important of him, important for him to do that, because this team is in a unique spot. They have to have the locker rooms. Locker rooms got to be bought into the process. And if you're calling everybody else out except him, except Goff, in a game where it's obvious where he struggled, then you are going to lose the team. And nobody knows that like a former player. And I think that that's why you saw that. And I think that's why you also saw him take that real long pause before he said what he said, because I think he knows too that quarterback is different and they go through a lot more than everybody else. And you've got to take that with, you know, it's a fine walking line, and it's been really interesting to watch him walk it. I think he's doing okay with it, because it's a hard spot. They're not winning, but I think it's a difficult line to walk, but we'll see how it goes.
It's a really difficult line to walk, and I agree with you. I think he's doing as good a job as you possibly can. And some people are critical of him being as emotional and as forthcoming as he is, but with the team being that is literally his one job, because as you mentioned, the team knows it's rebuilding. Yeah. It's not trying to throw games, but it's not, you know, it's not in a position where they're spending they're doing all these things. His one job is keeping that locker room engaged. And if he can do that throughout the season,
yeah,
if he can keep those players positive going into next year, I think that in itself is a great job, no matter how many games he wins.
Yeah, they could go 2 and whatever. And if you've still got enough to sell on all these little things with the roster, like to the young guys, like, hey, you had a good year and next year it's going to be better. Like, you can go into the offseason at 2 and whatever, clicking your heels a little bit. Like, you can have some positivity, but you can't lose the team. And if the quarterback's playing that bad and you're not, and you're just excusing it, you're going to lose the team. And I think Campbell knows that. And I think that's why I would say, I think that that rope, he's walking it pretty well. It's a tight one and it's a challenge every week, but I think so far he's managed to keep it kind of where it needs to be. This is going to be an interesting one Sunday, though. They could get they could get blown out of the building.
And that's, you know, what I was going to say, Nick. Matthew Stafford could come back in town and he could throw five touchdowns on them real quick.
And
that's what I'm saying. I mean, you see the firepower that the Rams have. And I've made, when Matthew Stafford was going to the Rams, I said to everybody, I think this team is going to the NFC Championship game. Because he added something to their offense that they did not have.
Right. He's elevated them completely. And like, you're just looking to see if you can, if you're the Lions, throw some sand in the gears and see if you can muck it up a little bit and screw it up and see if you can make it less painful, I guess, and hang around, because if you, you could blink and he could throw 5.5. With that offense and the way they played last week so poorly, really curious to see kind of the start here, or the where they're at, you know, mentally, coming off a really, really bad showing there last week.
How come McVay didn't want to talk to you guys?
I don't think he wanted to get into the golf stuff, because he knows that, you know, he dumped on him. Part of the reason Jared Goff has no confidence is because McVay crushed him all the time publicly. Like, that's a big
And then as soon as Stafford shows up, is like, he's oh my God, this seen. Is what I've been waiting for.
I mean, what are we doing? Like, you know, I think Sean McVay.
This is professional football.
Right.
This is professional football. And hey, if you can't get it done, the next guy that comes in, we're going to praise him even more. I'm just saying. You get paid for making those plays.
That door keeps spinning one way or the other.
Exactly. Nick, appreciate you coming on today. We really enjoyed it. Hey, looking forward to that Northwestern game. And we'll see you on the other side next week.
All right, guys.
That's Nick Baumgartner from The Athletic. We're going to go to a break. And then, hey, Hadley, I hope you're listening, because your favorite person is coming on the other side. You're listening to The M Zone.